We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Great story here today of recovery. We've got the Casper family here, Drew and his dad Dave and his mom Connie here. We are talking about Drew's recovery here from Madonna Rehabilitation Centers where he was transferred. That's a great place in Lincoln. They do so much good work. In fact, I had covered a story when I lived up in Nebraska of a kid who had a bad car accident there, and he made quite a recovery here. So this is nothing new. These guys do this all the time up there. So shout out to Madonna Rehabilitation Center in Lincoln. Let's talk a little bit more about the progress that Drew's made in just this short amount of time here since, what, March, April. And maybe, Mom, can you kind of allude me into a little bit more of this? We were talking a little bit during the break.
Sure. You know, I already talked about moving units between the spinal unit to the traumatic brain injury unit. And, you know, I think they set goals. They're very defined. Every type of therapist that we had, every doctor, and he, every day, you know, had a pretty regimented therapy process. And it would include speech, occupational, and physical therapy, sometimes twice a day for physical therapy. And, you know, once they started through all of those therapies, the thing about Madonna is they don't give any patient any choice but to go through them even when he couldn't actively participate. They still made him do different types of therapy just to see what he could do. And so once we moved units, we became even heavier focused on those therapies. And every time they would have a goal for him, which they have written goals, they have family meetings. We met with all therapists and doctors once every few weeks. They would have written goals as what to achieve. And they joked that with Drew, they always had to work overtime because they had to reset his goals every week. And originally the goal when we went there was that he would get to a 75% capability of managing himself. So that meant everything from getting out of bed to bathing to fixing his meals, but that we would have to help 25%. And that was the goal as he would leave Madonna. And so constantly rewriting the goals was awesome. We would smile at that. Even when Drew couldn't talk and he became aware, came out of the coma, he went straight to all smiles every time he would see, you know, his therapists, and they would joke with him. And so I think he was fun to interact with them just because he laughed, he smiled even when he couldn't talk. You know, Drew talked about using thumbs up, thumbs down, and he did have to learn that. It doesn't mean he wasn't stubborn about it at times and didn't want to give a signal, but he used a smile in a lot of cases as well. And so, you know, as we moved kind of through the progression of it, you know, they expected him to have to relearn everything, walking, talking. And he did have to relearn those things, but he did it very fast. Talking, he didn't. There was just a morning we walked in, and we had, you know, our process of staying late at night, coming back in the morning at 7 a.m. when his routine would start. And he just looked up one day and said, "Hi, Mom." And that was it.
That probably made your heart melt.
It did.
Oh, man, what a great thing to be able to hear. What about you, Dad? What was some of your memories of his recovery here?
Well, as Connie mentioned, the machinery and the equipment they have there is fantastic. And they had him, prior to even walking, signed up to be a part of the machinery to kind of guide him, relearn walking. You know, that whole scenario was going to have to start from scratch. And they literally took him into the gymnasium area and stood him up the first day, and he was able to stand for a few minutes and take a few steps. And by the second day, he was walking across the entire gym and ended up walking back to his room, which was, I don't know, 350 steps or something. Mm. So that was the progression of his recovery. It was, you know, one step the first day and 350 steps the next day. And his therapists were, like Connie said, rewriting their plan 2 weeks in advance, every day almost, because he was progressing so fast.
And Drew, you've had a smile on your face most of the whole time here in the show. Where's this this will, this determination come from here?
I think that my will is from, just wanting to get back to walking or talking, and to get back to life as normal would be one thing that really kept me determined the whole time. And I also had a lot of people looking up to me, sort of, while I was at Madonna, even. And it was nice to see that, but I didn't really get to I didn't get to choose, you know, who it was or what I did, but it was a good recovery.
Hey, your mom talked a lot about making goals here for yourself. At this stage here in your recovery, what is that like now? Do you still make goals here today?
Yeah, I still make goals, and I'll continue therapy here. And it's nice to be back to Manhattan, but and I'm going to work again at the Dream Car Collection. But we have not. Well, I'll still continue therapy, and so that's kind of what my goals are, is to be to continue with the therapy and to finish everything completely or gain some mobility back in my neck. But
yeah, and you know, they talked about you'll have some times where you won't be able to do turn your neck and such, but that's kind of a minor inconvenience in the grand scheme of things, huh?
Yeah, I think it is. The fact that I can walk normally and everything, that kind of pales in comparison to not being able to move my neck. But not being paralyzed is a nice thing as well, but it's definitely a good thing.
Again, we're talking with the Casper family here. Drew Casper making quite a recovery here after his accident earlier this year in a bad car accident. He's the curator of the Midwest Dream Car Collection. Check that out, West Manhattan. Maybe some more thoughts here, Connie?
Yeah, I think the one thing we really haven't talked about is the friends and family mm-hmm. along the way. You know, the support, again, we talked about it from the first day, but the people in the waiting room, you know, for 2 weeks at Stormont Vale, the friends who come every day after college classes, do their homework, hang out for 6 hours every day, and wait just to see him, just to talk to him, even though he wasn't responsive. And I think, you know, we had a support system that was just unbelievable. And even once he went to Madonna, I think we amazed them because his friends were there every weekend. They didn't miss a weekend, especially his best friends. And all of his major steps in recovery where he would start talking or really he would really push himself to walk harder would be after or during a visit like that, because therapy continued on a weekend. So I, you know, Drew could comment on it, but we couldn't have asked for more from friends, family, you know, pastor, children in our church that wrote hilarious cards that you just have to laugh at, only a child would write. And so we were able to decorate his whole room with things like that.
Great. I think, Nick, did you have a question?
Well, I was just going to, you know, being through a maybe not as bad of an accident. I had a pretty bad motorcycle accident where I suffered a severe concussion. And I was curious if you have any thoughts on maybe how your outlook has changed in life. For me, it had a big impact on how I looked at life. And I was wondering if you've had anything similar like that, Drew.
My outlook has not changed exactly, but it is kind of, I have to write things down to remember them better. And short-term memory is kind of a problem, but it's really not. And then my long-term memory is there as well, and I think that writing things down will definitely continue to help.
Oh yeah, I'm in the same boat. I used to be fairly astute with memory. I could remember, you know, I was a little bit of a hockey whiz. I could remember stats from all sorts of players, and then LA Kings legends, things like that. That's changed a lot, and as you move on, it's gonna have to be a little bit of a balancing act. You're gonna have to transition there if it's anything like what I've gone through. But it sounds like it's a little more serious than what I went through too.
Yeah, Drew's always had a really positive outlook. So I think when he says, you know, it's not changed, he's always just seen the future as bright. I think it's probably impacted Dave and I more, you know, on our outlook. You just kind of take every day a little more one day at a time versus always thinking about the next day or the next week, because we learn to live in the moment and we learn to look for every positive step every day. And, you know, we never had a bad day after the accident. The accident was a horrible day. But after that, there were no bad days in this whole experience, just because he continued to make recovery. And again, we couldn't have asked for more support. So I'd say our outlook has definitely changed.
Well, no doubt. You know, people don't make this kind of recovery on a normal basis here. So I got to ask the question: how much has faith played a role in this whole part?
I couldn't have made it through without faith in this. You know, the first night you ask why, mm-hmm. You want to know why would you do this to this child? Why would you do this to us? Maybe anger along the way, but then the next day, none of us slept. The first night they made us leave. We went to my sister's, who lives in Topeka. And our daughter, Lauren, who's 19, the three of us, we didn't sleep. We go back, and I do think faith took over in that moment, because from then on out, we heard a lot of bad news. Every day we heard bad news, but never did we think that it wasn't possible for him to be the miracle. And, you know, I wrote a lot of notes on my computer every night, because we'd be spending the night there, and I would write, "I believe in miracles," and he's a miracle. You know, he doesn't talk as openly about his faith as I do. You know, Dave's probably the same way, but he's a miracle. And so how could you not just see God throughout this?
Yeah. Do you want to add to that, Dave? Sorry.
Well, yeah, his recovery was so incredible from where we started with the neurosurgeon and the neurologist who gave us nothing but worst case scenarios right from the beginning, and that was not a place you ever envision yourself is sitting across the table from a doctor who's telling you that things aren't going to be the same in your life.
A constant quote was, "He will never be the Drew you knew. You need to mourn him. Even if he lives, you'll need to mourn the Drew you knew." And so they had to tell us those things. Like, she was the best neurosurgeon we could have ever asked for, but she had to tell us those things because that statistically is what happens. But we had faith that it wasn't going to be what happened. There's a lot of classes that they offer at Madonna. There's a lot of, you know, online reading. I still have yet to go read anything online about traumatic brain injuries, and I know that may sound a bit naive, but my fear was that if I read what statistically could happen, that I wouldn't keep my faith. Mm-hmm. So I read more my Bible verses.
Well, good for you. I'll let you have the last word, Drew. Maybe share some inspiration with us if you would.
I mean, from the time of the accident, luckily I was wearing a helmet, and that was an important part of my recovery. And I'd met people that hadn't worn a helmet or whatever, and they had more serious injuries than I did. And I think that definitely played a role in, you know, me recovering as quickly as I did and everything like that. But
great. Well, you're certainly an inspiration to a lot of us here, and we appreciate you guys coming and sharing your story with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That'll do it here for In Focus, News Radio KMAN.
Shop local. From flooring to inspiration to expert advice, Carpet One of Manhattan. They've got you covered. KMAN, Manhattan.
Wearing red, white, and blue.